Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. You don't notice technology when it works flawlessly. You experience it. This statement was made by Samuel Weick, a colleague I deeply value. He is interior designer, HMI designer at Lincoln Co. in Sweden, at that Chinese-Swedish joint venture. And he made this statement on at the Car HMI in Berlin during his impressive keynote that he gave at the end of the first day. This episode of the Human Technology Podcast will be about the Car HMI, and it will not be the only one I'll do. So it will not be some kind of report, but I found a couple of things that really made me think during this event, and so I decided to make a row of episodes to talk about what I've heard there, to reflect that. And today I will talk about new trends, older new trends in automotive HMI. Before that, maybe a couple of words on what the Car HMI is. It is, for me, the number one, and I think as far as size and impact is concerned, the number one automotive HMI, automotive human machine interface conference in Europe. They have a US version as well. It's organized by the company called WeConnect, which is a Berlin-based conference organizers. And the Car HMI is usually conducted late June. This year was more mid-June. Every year, annually. For me, it turns more and more into a family reunion event. I mean, many old friends there. There is a core group of people that show up there every year. There's a couple of new people every year there. But most of the people, I know them either from projects I did or from past Car HMIs or other conferences. And yeah, so it becomes more and more like a family meeting, a family reunion meeting we are having there every year in June. Today, as I said, I will talk about four major trends that I detected during the conference. And number one is digitalization of cockpits. Number two, the role of Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Number three, the development, the status of external HMIs. And number four, artificial intelligence and multimodality. So those are the four points that I'd like to talk about. Let's start with the digitalization of cockpits. The transformation of in-vehicle HMIs in the age of connectivity. Over the past 10 years, vehicle interiors, particularly cockpits, have undergone a fundamental transformation. This shift is characterized by increasing digitalization of the cockpit, the decline of physical controls in some cars down to zero, the integration of large touchscreens. Sometimes it feels like we still have a growing number of touchscreens, a growing amount of glass real estate in vehicles, which is not true, but yeah, it still feels a little like this. And the still growing influence of mobile technologies and artificial intelligence. So we take over the interaction paradigms of smartphones and tablets into vehicle cockpits. Let's have a look in the past, into the past. Early vehicles, early vehicle interiors were defined by a variety of physical buttons like knobs, switches, rockers, rotaries. And with the growing, with the rise of the digital technology and the desire for a, let's say, more minimalist interior, more flexible design, this landscape has changed dramatically. So I use the term input device graveyard for some cars. And for me, the most drastic example of that was the first Porsche Panamera. I think that's on like 130 different buttons somewhere on the dashboard. Definitely not easy to handle anymore. Definitely an overload. Definitely not flexible. And that has changed. Today's cars have maybe 10 buttons, maybe 5 buttons. Yeah, and we have large displays and then software-driven HMIs dominating vehicle interiors and often reflecting the user experience of modern smartphones. This evolution parallels the technology shift from consumer space, from desktop, through dot-com applications to mobile devices and now network devices, and in future AI-powered ecosystems. So modern cars are no longer just means of transport. They are intelligent knots in their users' digital life. So they become part of users' digital ecosystems. What we find today in modern vehicles is, first of all, touchscreens. I don't know any modern car, any car that came out in the last 2 or 3 years without a touchscreen. So maybe some very cheap, very exotic car. All I'm aware of and all the cars I'm driving as a rental car, as a private car, and during my profession when I work on projects, every car has a touchscreen, and this is the central controller. Some have additional elements like the BMW has the iDrive, and some Mercedes there is a touchpad. But as far as the haptic thing is concerned, the haptic interaction mode, the haptic inputs into the vehicle, that is touch. And then in addition, we have in almost any car some kind of and some level of voice control. For example, the let's say the most advanced technology I'm aware of is the Sirens technology found in many of the modern cars. That is an almost natural interaction possible with the MBUX, as it's called in the Mercedes cars. It has different names in other cars. Basically all the same technology. The latest development, I'm going to talk about this in the artificial intelligence chapter, is ChatGPT and other large language models used as, let's say, dialogue partners in vehicles. Some others are more command-based, are a little less flexible, non-adaptive to user preferences or dialects. And so I'm having sometimes problem interacting with an English voice control. Because of, I think it somehow feels my German accent and refrains to work, because when I do it in German, it's super easy for me. All right, so this is the status we have as of today. And then there are a couple of advantages of these digital cockpits. And but it's the functionality and the flexibility. So digital interfaces allow for many functions in a limited space. So we have this large amounts of functions, some of them vehicle in the vehicle interior, some of them are entertainment controlled, some are from the internet, some are software-based. So, but we have tons of functions, many, many more than we had 25, 30 years ago, before we had this these infotainment systems and this focus, this concentration of functions. Digital HMIs allow over-the-air updates. In the old times, and it's still to a large extent, it is still the fact that if you buy a car, it is the way it is. You buy it, and it's not flexible anymore. That changes because you have these software updates first, and a couple of years ago you still needed, and for some of the software updates you still need to go back to the workshop, to the dealership, and then they plug in some computer and they give you some new software. But over-the-air updates are becoming more and more popular. Tesla started that, they promoted that first. So you can play over the mobile network interface that you have software into the system, and then you can have HMI updates with that, new color sets, new schemes, even new functions. So all that is possible with that, which has never been possible before if you have a button only device. So you have a platform consistency. I talked about this, about the external consistency, transferring known smartphone interaction paradigms, swiping, gestures, certain app icons, zooming in, zooming out into the car, and this way increasing user acceptance. And you can personalize it. You can have a user profile, you can have adaptive layouts, you can have AI-based suggestions, not only on colors, but maybe on interaction streams that you have. You are always doing the same things in the same order, and then you can do this in the car. So these are the advantages of digital cockpits. Of course, there are downturns, there are challenges. It can be highly destructive. There is a high potential for driver distraction in this one. Touchscreens require a visual attention, a visual feedback loop. You cannot use a touchscreen blindly. All right, maybe to a very limited extent. Maybe it is possible, to do it, but the very limited thing. Basically, you always need to look what you press on because there is no haptic feedback. You have longer reaction times, you have longer eyes of the road times, it is definitely critical for driving safety. We're talking about levels 0, 1, 2, and 3, where the driver needs to be somehow attentive or be quickly back into the control loop, and we cannot accept someone that is looking on a touchscreen trying to find somewhere in the seventh level, menu level, some kind of crazy settings function. This is not what we want on the streets. You do not have this haptic feedback. I mentioned that. Unlike physical switches, haptic feedback is missing usually, reducing usability specifically in blind use. Displays are growing. There we have growing size. Some of the cars out there have huge amounts of screen displays. For example, the Hi-Fi X, that is a car with interior touchscreen only. That everything is a piece of glass. You can touch it, and it's somewhat illuminated. You can do things. Today, the most used screen sizes are 8, 10, or 12. Inches in screen size, which I find is the correct size in a car. These huge or pillar-to-pillar displays, as the Byton had it, is not what we want to see in cars. I mean, we have this huge real estate, and nobody really was able to explain me what we need this for and how to control it, and then how to get all the complexity, the visual complexity out of that. So one of the speakers said we have seen peak screen. So the largest number, the largest size of screens lies already in the past, which I think is not a very, let's say, exotic kind of statement, because If everything is a scream, it cannot be more than that. And we are going back from that. So yes, we have seen screen peak. The NCAP and suggests to downgrade a cockpit that is overwhelming the user with screens due to cognitive distraction. So legislation and safety regulators are already seeing this problem and working on it. So this is the first trend I saw, the digitalization of cockpits. Number two, Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, the bring your own device revolution in vehicles. The integration of Apple CarPlay and Android Auto has become a major driver in the in-car infotainment sector. What you basically do is you connect your smartphone either through a cable or using Bluetooth with the head unit, with the car itself. And then on the screen, you get the apps you have on your smartphone. Not every app, but all the apps that seem to be useful while driving become visible, and they don't have the full functionality, but they're limited to some major main functionalities in the car. So it seems to be a pretty smart thing. If you have your Spotify there, if you have your parking app there, if you have your Google or Apple Maps app there, all of them are available in the car. They look and feel somehow like on the smartphone, so you have the external consistency, and it's your app. You bring in your own device, and you bring in your own data, you bring in your own playlist, you bring in your own destinations. And these ecosystems, one is talking to the others. And that is really a key comfort feature. Yeah, so it is definitely improving user experience in cars, and it became a key purchasing criterion. Let's say about 33% of all car buyers said they won't buy a vehicle without Android CarPlay and Apple Android Auto and Apple CarPlay in them, and about something like 97% of all new cars have either one or both of them. A look back in the classic built-in systems, OEMs control both hardware and software. With CarPlay and Android Auto, a significant portion of the user experience shifts to the smartphone, to the consumer device. The operating systems, apps, layout, the OEMs are losing their influence in this area. And for me, the challenge is finding a new balance between OEM-controlled systems and customer wishes, user wishes, customer-owned devices. The question at the end is, who owns the user experience? A couple of figures, I mentioned a couple of them already. 33% of car buyers say they won't buy a vehicle without one of these technologies. More than 95% of all vehicles have them. And wireless versions are now standard, more or less. So I haven't seen a cable version in a new car in the last year, I think. So we have this strong trend towards Android Auto and Apple CarPlay, but, and there is a big but, there are a couple of car makers that are hesitating, that are exceptions. So Tesla has never used any of these technologies. They say we have our own ecosystem and we do everything on our own. We create a user interface consistency inside our cars, and we optimize for over-the-air updates, and we do not need this, and this is only disturbing. Rivian, pretty much the same as Tesla. And General Motors, to my big surprise, announced in 2023 that future electric vehicles will not support Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. This is, for me, it's a bold move, cool move, but I'm not really sure how long they will stand for this one. The next step then is the so-called CarPlay Ultra, or next generation CarPlay. This was published at the Apple Developers Conference in June 2022. And it goes beyond Apple CarPlay. So it's integration into the digital instrument cluster. So it's not only infotainment, it's the cluster as well. And including things like air condition, like drift and drive modes, interior illumination, all that may be controlled by the smartphone. The user interface can be customized by the user, for example, speedometer styles, widgets, and so on. And this again is a big step away from OEM responsibility, OEM ownership of user experience, pointing towards a Apple user experience in the car. And this would mean a full dominance of Apple in vehicle cockpits. I'm not surprised that many, many car companies say no. Like Mercedes, Audi, they have all said no already. Renault has said no. Some are still thinking, but they're all doubtful. I note three that are into this technology, which is Aston Martin, Porsche, and Hyundai Kia. With Hyundai Kia and Porsche thinking about it. Aston Martin, I can understand them. They have a very low number of vehicles only, and they can use this one as a standalone criteria and get rid of this nasty HMI development. Which for them feels like costs only, doesn't bring me anything, which is totally wrong, but I think that's the thinking at Aston Martin. Opportunities of Apple CarPlay, of Apple CarPlay Ultra, of Android Auto, faster innovation, app ecosystems, access, and they even allow them, and this is the way Polestar, for example, is going, to have specific apps that are programmed for this OEM only for specific applications like reservation of car parking places or paying of fees inside the car, paying of gas inside the car. So they use this one for fast innovation because they don't need to run through the entire automotive development and certification process, but through a far lower and simpler process for these apps. These technologies give a higher satisfaction through this familiar user interface in cars. There is a high demand from the market. People want to have this in their car. And as I said, 33% said, I won't buy a car if it doesn't have it. Yeah, then I won't buy it. And you have the lower development costs. It's faster, it's more direct, and it follows a different set of rules. The risks in that is the loss of control over the user experience. That's the first one I see. So we will then all have the same experience in a Fiat 500 and in a Ferrari because it's all Apple or it's all Android. That is the point. You lose user experience control. You lose data sovereignty. Yeah. So all the data is then owned by Apple and Google. They have it. And they can use it. It's not the car makers, not the OEMs' data anymore. And you have the risk of brand dilution. If all UIs look the same, the vehicle becomes generic hardware, and then everything is done in software. And I don't know whether the OEMs want this way. Conclusion: the user experience boundaries shift. They're shifting the cars from OEM-centric platforms to consumer-driven, platform-driven ecosystems, and the boundary, the limits between vehicles and smartphones are fading. For the OEMs, it's a very strategic decision, integrate and coexist with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, or build a distinct competitive platform. And for me, most of the OEMs are, for them, it would be very hard, let's put it this way. It would be very hard for the OEM to build a distinct and, first of all, competitive platform that is on the same level as Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. So it's at the end not a technical decision, it's a strategic decision. With the Ultra version that goes beyond it, most OEMs hesitate. And so, yeah, it may take longer, or maybe it will not happen that ACP, Apple CarPlay Ultra, will make it onto dashboards. Number three, external HMIs, interfaces between vehicles and their environment. Vehicles become more connected, become smarter, more integrated into their environments, increasingly automated, and the interaction with the car extends beyond the cabin. So external HMIs, eHMIs as they are called, are gaining relevance as communication bridges between the vehicle and the environment. Also having users and other road users. Functions and use cases. What is an eHMI? It allows access to vehicle functions from the outside, either through the outside of the car or through, let's call it, third-party devices like smartphones or tablets. So opening doors and trunk via a gesture or a voice. I go to my car and I have my groceries shopping, and then I'm fully packed with stuff, and I go to my car and either I tell it or I use my foot and put it under the rear bumper, and then the trunk opens and then I can put stuff in and then all good. Something sometimes, by the way, I would love to have at my house door, far away from that, but in the car this is available. Yeah, the authentication through smartphone, the facial recognition, fingerprint recognition, iris recognition to open the car. Now, this is also an eHMI because I need to have some kind of human-machine interface on the outside of the vehicle. Remote access through apps, this is standard. This is something that you're having on your smartphone, and you can have a look. Where is my car? What is the energy level? How full is the battery? How full is the gas tank? You can turn on the air condition. So at the moment we are having a couple of pretty hot days here in Germany. And yeah, if I go to my car after recording this one, would be great to say to the car, okay, now bring it down to 20 degrees. I'll be there in 20 minutes, and then the car can decide, all right, I can cool the car down right now, or it'll take a little longer. So all these are access points from smartphones. These HMIs combine gestures, voice, lighting for new interactions, focusing on safety, which is an on-road communication. So you can have light patterns, for example, yeah, or text or symbols saying like, hey, you go first, I have seen you. And this is a problem that we will face in the foreseeable future. Today, when I drive and I stop at a pedestrian crossing and I look into the eyes of the person standing there, then he or she will know that I let him or her cross the street. Now, this will not be possible when I'm reading a book or having a look at my smartphone because my car is driving on level 3 or level 4 automation. And then the car can say, yes, I recognize you, I respect you, it's your right of way, I will stop and now you can go. Same with in which automation level is a car? Yeah, what automation level am I driving? Is it a self-driving car? Is it driven by a human in the car? Or what I am discussing in a project at the moment is there an external driver? And this can be very interesting for other road users to know. All right, this car is not driven by a human, this is driven by a machine, so it may behave a little strange because it may behave 100% correctly, which humans usually don't do in daily traffic. Now, that is something different. They're indicating that is an external HMI that we will see. All right, so projects like, there are a couple of European projects like Interact or the project of Volvo called AVIP. They show that well-designed HMIs improve trust, safety, situation awareness, for first of all, in mixed traffic situations. So when I have a partially automated car or a highly automated car in a non-automated environment, this will improve trust and safety, first of all. Challenges and open questions I'm seeing in this one, first of all, it is standardization. How do we do this? What colors do we use? How do we allow it? How do projections of traffic signs by the car onto the road surface look like? And I very much believe in standardization, so that it makes things easier and it improves the speed. It speeds up developments if we know what we can do, and there's no discussion anymore on how to do certain things. So ISO and SAE are on the way of developing such standards. Another challenge is signal overload. Traffic already is a highly complex situation for car drivers, but also for pedestrians, for bicycle drivers. And now we add an additional information group, the external HMI. So they're blinking here, they're projecting onto the streets. And the question here is really, do we create additional visual clutter in our urban areas, in our road environments, or can we get the balance right to improve safety? Problem also is accessibility. Many people with impaired vision or hearing impairments will have problems if we use just one channel. So probably we will need more than one channel to pick up all people that participate in traffic. Future, external HMIs will extend beyond control or signaling. My vision is they'll become an integral, seamless user experience of the entire vehicle. The more consistent, the more contextual, and the more clear external HMIs are, the more valuable they will become. Final point, final trend number four, artificial intelligence and multimodality. For me, the next step in automotive HMIs, the artificial intelligence integration into vehicle HMIs opens new, smarter, more human-centered interaction paths. Multimodal interfaces, combining the different modes that we have, balancing the modes with context, with driving situation, with use case, with driver preferences, and making this combination a unique experience, fitting exactly the needs, the beliefs, the dreams, the abilities of every single driver. Yeah, that will be one part where artificial intelligence will play a large role. Another point is the AI-based voice interaction. We have voice control since many years in cars, but with artificial intelligence, we get even more natural dialogues. We have context sensitivity, we have reliability, we have learnability, so the HMI can learn about me, my preferences, my interactions, which then at the end will improve the user experience. And so 70 to 85% of users are open to AI-based assistants and chatbots in cars. That differs a bit between countries and markets, but basically the vast majority says, yes, I want to have this one. So AI-based recognizers like ChatGPT or other large language models hit a 90% plus accuracy, which sounds pretty good, but is actually not that good. So if you say something to your car 10 times and once it misunderstands it, every 10 times, which is the 10% miss rate, that is annoying. So if we reach 97-98%, it gets better and then it is okay. But it's a technical problem and the path to its solution is visible, so it will be solved. Dialogues with AI-based speech system is more proactive, so the car may ask you something if you want it. It's less command-driven. It's more like talking to a passenger in the car. Other features beyond those two is driver assistance, right? Contextual alerts we can give, personalized navigation we can give. So enhancing existing in-vehicle features with artificial intelligence to make a better user experience, to create more context, to personalize it even more. Another point is driver monitoring. And the Carly project, I had a couple of episodes on the Carly project, a research project funded by the German government. There we researched on driver monitoring, so on gaze, on posture, on facial expressions, on speech analysis, on to find out, is the driver really ready to take over? What is the driver fatigued? Is the driver alert? So what is the status of a driver based on these? And this connected with artificial intelligence gives you pretty good results on prediction of the situation of the driver. And the environment interaction, recognizing road events like signs and construction places, and integrating them into the HMI, into navigation, into displays, in-vehicle displays. So these are other examples of artificial intelligence in HMIs. Challenges, design implications. We have a trust and transparency issue. If my HMI changes every time I'm using it, I'm losing the trust in it. And it really, really gets on my nerves. I can foresee this one. And it's not transparent. There has been this menu point yesterday. Why is it not there anymore? And then people start searching, getting annoyed, losing trust. Loss of transparency is definitely an issue. So users need to understand system decisions. Overload risk. Too many modalities can overwhelm users. So if we have gestures and eye movement control and speech and seat haptics and whatever, touch screens, and if we have head-up displays and seat belt rattling and cluster instruments, so too many modalities can overwhelm users and cause confusion and driver distraction. At the end, there's a lot about privacy. Sensitive data must be protected, ideally processed locally in the car. So AI and multimodality transform HMIs. This is foreseeable. This will happen. An HMI will turn from a control tool into an intelligent companion. And then the car understands not just what the user wants, but when, how, and why the user wants it. So the human and the machine becomes the focal point with that. All right, that's it for today. I talked about some of my main key takeaways from the car HMI in Berlin. 4 points: the digitalization of cockpits, the role of Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, and CarPlay Ultra in addition. External HMIs and the role of artificial intelligence and multimodality. That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time, take care, and stay healthy.